You know, sometimes you know what you're writing, sometimes you don't. As I began writing this message and looking at this message, you know, a few months back, it was on my calendar and it's been there for a while. And I looked at this message, and probably even when I sent Justin my notes, we didn't realize, or he probably didn't realize, this is the Father's Day message. Eric, what's this have to do with Father's Day? Because for Mother's Day, we let a mom speak to you, because I have no idea what it's like to be a mom. None. I mean, I know how aggravating they can be. I know how loving they can be. I know all those things, but I have no idea what it's like to be a mom. As a father, I have an idea what that's like. You know, and I know moms get a lot of accolades, and I'm glad you do. It's well deserved. But one thing I hardly ever hear is someone say, "Hey guys, great job. You know, thanks for being fathers. Thanks for standing up. Thanks for sticking it out. Thanks for being those guys that just keep coming back." Like, I mean, Justin sent me silly videos one evening this week. And I mean, they are hilarious. You know, it was funny. And he sent them to me and said, "Oh man, sorry to interrupt you. You're probably studying." And I was like, "No. Actually, I'm just being dad right now. I'm being a dad." And, you know, sometimes it's time that we just get to be dad. And, you know, we hear how tough it is sometimes being a mom and how hard that work is. Like I said, I really appreciate it. But, guys, it's no joke being a man either. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy saying, "You know what, I need you to be courageous and stand up." When you get those calls late at night, I don't know about you, but it seems like for some reason fatherhood right now tends to run on a schedule that as soon as I get home from work, it's about 5:30. Somebody needs something. And it runs past midnight and 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock sometimes. And it's not easy, guys, sometimes being a dad. Thanks. You know, for those new dads that are changing all those nice-smelling diapers, thank you. It's no joke, is it? You know, it's appreciated. Guys, keep standing up. And when I wrote this message, I thought, well, you know, how do I talk about a father? Because, you know, I really, you know, haven't had the example of what that necessarily was in life. I've had guys that came in and stayed for a while, made some decent examples. I've had, you know, guys that were good role models. But as far as a father, not a whole lot of an example there. So as I wrote this message, I thought, if I could tell my kids a few things in life, what would I want to tell them? You know, I let a mom speak to you about motherhood. So I'm going to speak to you as though I was talking to one of my kids. I promise there'll be no yelling involved. Oh, well, maybe a little. You know, I was talking to Josh the other night. He said, it's so scary that sometimes I'm about to do something and I hear your voice in my ear saying, "That's a bad idea. That's not a good idea." Because once I get a certain age, guys, you can no longer enforce your decisions. You can no longer say no and it mean no. You know, there comes a certain age that you have to say, you have to guide, you have to say, it's not the best idea I've heard you come up with. You know, and you try to direct. However, and I thought, if I could tell all my kids one thing, what could I tell them? Because there's one thing that I found in life that really tries to hold me back a lot of times, and that's my failures. You know, as a father, I've got my failures. As a man, I've got my failures. And in your life, you're going to have failures. And they're going to stink. You know, from those first times that you're learning to walk, to you're falling, busting your butt, dad's picking you up, mom's picking you up, you're going to have failures. When you start making decisions that affect the rest of your life, you're going to have failures. You're going to make some good decisions. You're going to make some bad decisions. Sometimes it's a bad idea to wait to the last minute to do your AR. Right? Amen. Right. Amen. You know, dad, mom, saying, maybe you should read. Last day, I've got a 500-page book to read. Bad idea. Anyway, you're going to have your failures. You're going to make some bad decisions. But if I could say one thing, guys, it's let's take the F out of failure. Let's take it out. Let's take the F out of failure. Everybody's like, what? That doesn't leave much. Exactly. Okay. But if you take the F out of failure, I want you to realize, guys, as you walk through life, that failure, it is not fatal. Failure's not fatal. It's not going to kill you. If you got up this morning, you took a deep breath, the mistake you made yesterday was not fatal. There's mistakes of 20 years ago that I thought they were fatal. I thought they would end everything. There's decisions I made that, guys, I'm not proud of. There's decisions that were made that were horrible decisions that I was forced to either make or didn't know a better way at the time. But those failures were not fatal. I'm still here. We're still doing what God wants us to do. So guys, as you face those failures, don't let them stop you. Realize that they are not fatal. And they are not final. Failure is not final. It's not the last thing that's going to happen. Because I believe as a child of God, a lot of times the devil can't stop you unless he can convince you that you're already stopped. He can't stop you. It's not final. But what happens is, do you know who you are? Do you know the mistakes you've made? Do you know all these things that are going on? It is not final, guys. It is not over. A lot of times we think this failure that this thing that just happened, it's over. It's not over, guys. And so sometimes we are so scared of failure that we won't step forward, that we won't move forward. Let's take the fear out of failure. You ever scared to do something, guys? You know, sometimes as a young person, I was scared. I might fail, so why try, right? I didn't like the embarrassment. I didn't like not measuring up. I didn't like putting it on a line sometimes. And I tell you what, there's one thing that I'll say that martial arts has taught me. It's that talk's one thing, but I admire those guys that put it on the line where they win or lose. Win or lose, they put it on the line and they learn from it. Guys, sometimes you're so scared. What if I'd have stayed too scared to ask her out? You know, because I had made some failures and I had some things that I thought were final and I thought some things were over. And I thought, what if I'd let that fear stop me? I will be honest with you. There were two men took me up on top of a mountain. I'm not joking. It was cold. You know Hawksbill? Middle of winter, out on the face. For some reason, they wanted to camp right there where it's so cold. Wind rips right across the top of it. And they were talking, and they knew I had made some failures. They knew I had some fears. They knew I thought some things were final and over. And I never will forget Stoney Curtis had deep theological conversations with me that night. How my failures did not finalize my decisions. How my failures did not mean that my life had to be over. That if God had given someone in my life that I could love, that maybe it wasn't final and it wasn't to be feared. But he did assure me if I didn't move, somebody would. He said, you need to step forward. It was all over her. I was scared. I had failures. Was it okay for me to love again? Was it okay for me to have something that some people consider a blessing in my life? Was it okay? I mean, I had failures. I had baggage. I had history. Guys, don't ever think that your failures are final. Don't ever think that they have to stop you. And if I was talking to my children today and they had failures in their life, I would want them to learn to forgive it. In others, there's people I've had to forgive that at one time I thought I hated. There's people I've had to forgive that, you know, when I knew God was moving in my life was when I felt the hatred slip away for some people. There was a guy I hated. I'm not joking. And I said, he better never say a word to me. Were those not my words? I'm not a very violent guy. I like to play, but I'm not really very violent. But this guy had done something that offended me when I lost a child. He probably didn't even know what he did. I was angry. I was hateful. And I couldn't forgive his failure. When I knew God was moving in my life was when I saw him and I realized in my heart, I had no hatred. I was able to forgive. When I look back to the early 20-some years ago in my life, and I have no more hatred, I have no more hurt for the things that have happened in my life, I have no more pain that says, you know what, I hate them. Forgive it in others, guys. Don't hold other people to their failures, because you know what, God's working on them just like he is you. Forgive them. Sometimes I got to forgive myself. Sometimes that was the hardest thing, guys. When you fail, sometimes looking in that mirror is the hardest thing you do. Sometimes I look in the mirror, and I'm like, why you love me. Why you love me? I'm messed up. I made bad decisions. Do you know my history? I mean, really, you want to talk about a messed up history? We can talk. We can talk. There's things that nobody will ever know about Baker. But there's something that the Maker knows about Baker that, guess what? He loves me anyway. Learn to forgive yourself and forgive others. Learn to forget it. This is tough. This is tough. Your failure, sometimes you got to forget it. You mean, I got to look past it? I can't keep dwelling on it? If you keep dwelling on your failures, that's all that will ever define who you are. And you'll stay stuck there. And what I want you to learn to do is to step forward from it. You know, all my children, when I look at them, have they all been perfect? No. Mm-mm. I mean, I can talk about late night phone calls from mistakes they've made. I can think about airplane flights, sitting beside the Muslim guy rocking and praying the whole time because he's as scared as I am when they start turning that plane around. You know, we can talk about a lot of things. They're not perfect, but I want them to learn to move forward from it. I don't want them to stay stuck there. And I thank God that, you know what? He allowed me to be there during some of those hard times. Because that's like I told you the other week, sometimes my thing's not, I'm not going to show up and do everything for you. I'm not. Sometimes I will, if it's needed. But a lot of times, I'm just there. Just there. But learn to move forward from it. Don't stay stuck in it. Don't let it define who you are. Move forward from it. There's some great lessons that we learn from failure. A lot of great lessons. I want us to look at a scripture. It sounds like, man, you all out of order up there, boss. You all out of order. I want us to look at a scripture. And if there's one thing I want to teach my children, and one thing that I'd love for our church to know, is what it is to be part of a comeback. Sometimes it's a comeback, isn't it? Sometimes you've been some places that are tough, and you've been beat down, and it's a comeback, isn't it? I want us to look at the scripture. We're going to look at Judges 16:22 in the NLT. And this is a very short scripture. Don't worry, I'm going to give you some backstory, but I didn't want to read it all to you. We're going to go through some backstory. But it says, but before long, his hair began to grow back. That's the last scripture, isn't it, that we're going to read right there. That's it, right there. Lots. But before long, his hair began to grow back. And they're like, Eric, you're going to build a message off of that? I am. Simply because God said we had to. But when I look at this, anybody remember me last week? Came in here, I was clean shaven. I looked good because she said I had to. No, I'm joking. She didn't. She never said a word. But you know what? I was clean shaven. And you know what? I was clean shaven, had a rough week. Rough week. Busy week. Busy week. At times I felt weak. At times I felt beaten down. At times I was tired. At times I was ill. If you asked me to do one more thing, and we both said by the end of this week, we're spent. She called me short. I think she meant my attitude. I'm not quite sure what she meant. I mean, because she did walk in today wearing heels and said, I'm as tall as you. She did take them off. So I'm not quite sure what she meant. But anyway, you know, there were those times. But during all these times, guess what's happening? It's growing back. It's beginning to grow back. And so during all those hard times that you're facing, people say, those two things have nothing to do with each other. Exactly. Your failure has nothing to do with what God's going to grow in your life. We want to relate the two all the time. We want to relate it to where, well, I failed and I'm not going to get it back. I also look at Samson's backstory. Anybody know this backstory of Samson? Samson's, I mean, come on. He's a manly man, right? He's a man. Lion shows up. He rips its jaw off. It dies. Next thing you know, he's going back getting honey out of it. It's a man, right? Lion shows up, he rips it apart. It's amazing, isn't it? But you know what Samson did? He fell in love with a Philistinian woman. He did. He loved her. Fell in love with her. marries her. His father said, it's not a good idea. But the Bible says God's working in this. So he fell in love with her. He has this riddle. We're going to identify real fast right here two of Samson's weaknesses right off the bat in his backstory. He liked Philistinian women. All right, his first wife's a Philistinian woman, right? He loved her. So during the celebration of the marriage, even though everybody says it's not a good idea, you know what happens? He gives out a riddle. Hey, you boys figure this out, I'll give you this. If you don't figure it out, yeah, you owe me. All right, great, whatever. They couldn't figure it out. So what'd they do? They went to his wife and said, we don't know this. We're not going to figure it out. Help us out. She nagged him. I mean, that's literally what happened. She nagged him for a little while, and he gave in. And she told him the answer to his riddle. So next thing you know, he owes them. Right off the bat, let's look at Samson's weaknesses. Right off the bat, even when he's strong, when things are going good, he likes Philistinian women, and he hates to be nagged. He will break. All right? All of us have our tendencies. All of us have our weaknesses. This is a man that you know what the next thing you see him doing is when he leaves after she tells, but he's coming back to his wife. He brings a gift. He's going to go into his wife. And the father stops the door and says, whoa, whoa, whoa. I thought you must hate her. I gave her to be married to somebody else. And this is just cheap advice, guys. You don't see a guy go crazy? Don't mess with this woman. Don't mess with a man's woman. He will go crazy on you. The nicest guy will try to kill you. Okay? The one that's never done it, don't mess with her. Just let it go. Let it go. Don't mess with her. I mean, like I said, the times I've been almost ready to go, about three of them were over her. And I'm still mad at her anyway, but still, I'm ready to go, right? Anyway, so we see what Samson's weaknesses are here. So he does what? He runs out, catches some foxes, ties their tails together, burns down their fields. So Samson's very capable of doing what he wants to do, right? So as soon as they find out why Samson did what he did, they killed his wife and her father. So Samson's furious, right? Now, like I said, Samson's mighty. Samson's probably one of the strongest guys we ever read about. What did he look like? I don't know if he looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger or the guy off the Big Bang. I don't know what he looked like, but I know that the power of God gave him strength. And I knew that when it moved, things began to change. So we see that he goes in and he kills all kinds of Philistines because of what they've done to his wife. And he goes back. Does he go home? No. He goes to live in a cave. We got a lot of kids right now living in caves because of things they've done, and they don't feel like they can go home. Guys, you can always come home. You can always tell me. We can always figure it out. But he didn't go home. He went to live in a cave. Next thing you know, the Philistines are attacking down at Judah, right? And his brothers have to come up and say, look, we're going to have to turn you over. They're killing us. You know they rule over us. They're more powerful than us right now. Will you go with us? He said, if you won't kill me yourself, I'll go with you. So he gets there, right? He gets there. They have him tied up. And next thing you know, as soon as the Philistines make their triumphant call, when the enemy's making their triumphant call, guys, don't worry. God's about to move, okay? So we see what? He breaks those bonds like they're nothing. Just boom. He finds the jawbone of a donkey. And he goes into battle against these Philistines. With the jawbone of a donkey? Really? Guys, sometimes your tools are not going to be what you think they were supposed to be. Sometimes your tools may not be a sword or the college education that you thought you needed to accomplish what God wanted you to do. And it may not be that you didn't make some mistakes. It may be that your fight's going to be with the jawbone of a donkey. And so on that day, again, a battle that many Philistines are taken out. They named the place, the translation was Jawbone Hill. Fought a lot of battles, haven't we, guys? Sometimes not with weapons that we thought we were going to have. But from there, we see that he rules for 20 years as a judge over Israel. while the Philistines are in, you know, kind of ruling over Israel. He's a judge for 20 years. You know what I never see it talk about very much for Samson? It never talks about really peace for him, does it? It never talks about home. It never talks about him having another wife. It never talks about having a place to really be his own. I think, I can't prove this, I think he spent 20 years lonely. I think he spent 20 years getting tired. I think he spent 20 years figuring out a whole lot of things. And when I look back, we're going to pick up that story right here and what I call the grind. We see Samson make a few mistakes. You know, we see Samson make some mistakes with a prostitute, right? Did I read that correctly? Samson, a judge over Israel, went down to a prostitute, spent the night. Well, not really. He got up 12. He thought he'd spend the night, and then he calls another scene, but that's even another venue. He was tired. I think he was lonely. Guys, don't let yourself get too lonely. You make mistakes. Don't let yourself get too tired. You make mistakes. If I had to tell my kids one thing, don't ever let being lonely become an excuse to make those kind of mistakes. I think we made a lot of mistakes by feeling alone. And I remember being 13, 14, thinking that nobody knows what I'm going through. I can tell you from here, I was wrong. They did know. They understood it. People had been 13 to 14 before I had. They knew. You know, I might have had a little more technology. Yes, I had a Tandy, TS, whatever. Whew, man. Exactly. You know, yeah, I could program those computers back then. Only basic language, yeah. Anyway, yeah, whoo, 14K. 18 was a big upgrade. When we got 24, we were rocking. Anyway, there you look so confused. Anyway, somebody had been 13, 14 before I had. And although I thought I had all this technology they didn't understand, or they didn't understand my generation whatsoever, because we actually saw MTV. They didn't have that. They didn't understand music. But you know what? They understood. They had been there before I had. But don't let yourself ever feel too alone. You make mistakes. We see Samson, he finally falls in love with what? Another Philistinian woman. You think that sometimes our tendency, the devil knows? You think the devil knows what I like? You think sometimes he can say, oh yeah, Eric likes long walks on the beach. Yeah, yeah. Eric likes fancy coffee. Eric likes brunettes with blue eyes. You think the devil knows what Eric likes? Yeah, of course. You think he knows when I'm tired? Absolutely. You think he knows when I'm a little lonely? People say, Eric, why would you ever be lonely? Because there's things that places that I end up, even in my own head, that she can't go with me. There's times when I'm writing a message that I'm living it, that she don't understand it. There's times that I just feel lonely, and there's times that I just want somebody not to even listen, just to be there. But we see that he fell in love. Didn't say that this was lust, wasn't one, that he fell in love with another Philistinian woman. And this is, I'm going to tell you this, guys. She kept prodding him because the Philistines knew he was in town. She kept prodding him. What gives you your strength? Samson was born Nazarite vow, right? Wasn't a razor supposed to touch his head? It was an outward sign of an inward covenant. Sometimes there's outward signs of an inward covenant. You know what? When somebody starts pushing you, now this is for my younger children. When someone starts pushing you, that if you love me, you would walk away. I'm sorry, walk. And don't look back. If it's a boy, he's a punk. Walk away. If it's a girl, well, walk away. Okay? Because the thing is, when anyone, I don't care whether it's later in a marriage, whether it's later in life or whatever, and when someone starts holding things over your head like, if you love me, you would, you better be careful. Love doesn't try to force control. It just doesn't. It's not how it works. But we see that from here, he finally gets tired, doesn't he? He gets tired of being nagged. He gets tired of being pushed. He gets tired, and he does love this woman. He doesn't really want to go anywhere. He's tired. And what's he finally do? He gives up his heart. He gives up the covenant. I want you to know that this covenant was broken way before the razor touched his head. Your mistake is made way before the event happens. Your mistake, you know, some of the mistakes I look at in my life, they happen way before the actual event. They happen when I got lonely. They happen when things were going bad. They happen when I was in pain back here before the event actually happened. Because sometimes the covenant's already broken. We've already stepped away from the promise of what we know we're supposed to be. So we're going to pick up here. She knows his secret. So what does she do? She calls the Philistines in. Let's just shave his head. Samson jumps up like always when she says, "They're upon you." I mean, I don't know what he was thinking. She's already tried to have him take him a few times. And he's like, "Oh, okay, I'll tell you my secret." And when you ever look at somebody and think, how do you keep going back? How do you keep going back? How do you keep making the same mistake? I mean, I saw that woman come to my house many times and say, "How do you keep doing this?" You know, mom would show up like, "Are you crazy?" I mean, I'm serious. I mean, she was there when I needed somewhere to run to or when I was hungry. I mean, I never will forget the time I pulled into my mom's house and I'm sitting there and I won't go into the situation totally, but I was hungry. I didn't even have a shirt. When I left where I left, didn't take clothes, didn't have a shirt, and I'm hungry. And my oldest brother went out and he got me something I wouldn't eat now if I had. I mean, I don't know if I was that hungry, I might. He brought me back a big old hamburger, some french fries, and I wanted to cry because somebody cared, because somebody would provide something I needed in time. You know what? There are people there, but sometimes they wonder, why would you get there? Why would you go there? Because somewhere along the line, the covenant was already broken. My strength was gone. And sometimes you're going to jump up. And, you know, Samson had always jumped up. Yeah, he'd made mistakes. I mean, we talk about he'd been in the prostitute's house. And he still jumps up, and God's still there. Sometimes you still can shout on credit. Sometimes the covenant's still good. But the time comes that, you know what? You're going to jump up, and you're going to shake yourself, and you're going to realize that my strength's gone. God didn't fall upon me, and I'm not picking up anything. I can't even break what I'm bound with. The first thing they do to Samson, you know what they do? They gouge out his eyes. Why do they take his eyes? A man without vision is not dangerous. I'm going to say that again to my young daughter and to you. I think you got somebody with vision, though. But you know what? A man without a vision, don't waste your time on him because he's never going to get up. Can you marry a broke man? Absolutely. Can you marry an uneducated man? Absolutely. Can you marry a man that has no vision? No. Because you know what? A man without vision's a dangerous thing. But the first thing they did was take his vision. Why? They know he's not going anywhere. He's weak and he's blind. And the first thing they put him to doing is doing what? Here's a man of men, if you will. He's a manly man. You know what they put him doing? He's in a prison house grinding grain. And I'm sorry, but that's woman's work. At the time, that was below men. I'm not saying that there's woman's work and men's work and all that, but what I'm saying is that's how it was viewed then. It was below his stature. Here's a judge that was a man grinding grain in a prison. Broken, weak, and in the dark. And when we think about how that probably looked, there's a lot of ways that they could grind grain, but probably he's probably sitting down, shackled, and probably his whole day is spent pushing and pulling. Pushing and pulling. Probably the one helping him is the one dropping the grain since he can't see. Pushing and pulling. You ever feel like all you're doing is you're in the dark and you're pushing? And you're pulling. And you're pushing. And you're pulling. And you're pushing. And you're pulling. That's it. That's all I'm accomplishing. It's just a push and it's a pull. And I'm stuck here and it's dark. And guys, when you hit those times in your life that it's dark, You feel like the enemy's taking everything from you. You feel like it's just all, I'm just going through the motions. Anybody, I've heard that comment. Anybody ever hear that comment from somebody? I'm just going through the motions. I'm just getting up every day, going to work and coming home, and I'm going through the motions. And I mean, I'm trying to still be a good dad. I'm trying to still be a good this, a good that. I'm just going through the motions. That whole time, he can't see. He's stuck in the grind. I want you to realize one thing, that when you're stuck in the grind, maybe it's dark. Maybe you're stuck in a grind, but something's growing. Something's growing. Because the scripture we just read said what? It wasn't long till his hair began to grow back. You know what I begin to see? That outward sign, I don't think it's just his hair growing back. I think things are growing back here. I think in the darkness, in the heartache, in the redundancy of the push and pull, sometimes you're going to get stuck in the grind, and it's not going to make sense, and you're going to just be going through the motions. You're going to be pushing. You're going to be pulling, and that seems like it's all you got, and it's nothing's changing. Don't give up. Something's growing back. Man, I wish you could hear me. I wish you could hear me. I wish you could understand that something's growing back. Something's coming back. Because sometimes, there's been times in my life that it was so dark that I thought there's nothing can come from this. Nothing good could ever come from this place. You know, nothing good could come from right here where I'm at. Nothing. And all of a sudden, something begins to grow. All of a sudden, something's growing back. And we see that Samson, you know what I think began to happen was somewhere in his heart, he began to set a comeback in motion. I believe he's thinking already, if I get the chance. If I just get the chance. All of a sudden, they're having this party, right? They're giving praise to their God for giving them Samson, giving them victory. And they say, send for him. It'd be amusement. I mean, how dangerous can a blind man be? How dangerous can he be? So they pull him up. He's standing there between the pillars. And I know that there's been some battles, and guys, my younger ones, there's going to be things that take things away from you. There's going to be battles that you walk out of different. There's been things I walked into, one person, and I walked out a different person. 20-some years ago, brother, they were asking me, I don't know how you made it through that, and I didn't. I didn't make it through that. The same Eric that walked in there was not the same one that walked out. The same Samson that went into that prison was not the one that came out, and that's exactly how it is in life. Sometimes we have to realize we are in a situation. We have been put a place for a reason, and we're going to walk out different. As he's standing there, will you help me just a second? Come up here. I might should pick somebody shorter. All right, anyway, stay right there. All these kids are getting as tall as I am. And I don't make a good Samson beside you. I mean, you got those heels? Anyway, no. So, you know, there's Samson here. And maybe Samson wasn't as big as they thought he, you know, maybe he wasn't. Maybe it was just the power of God. That's what we're going to go with on me anyway. So it's just the power of God, right? So here's Samson. He's blind. He can't see. But there's a servant standing close by. A young boy. Oh, you see where we're going here? Sometimes the things you lost in battle, sometimes it's gone. You can't get it back. It's gone. There's testimonies I can't give because of mistakes I made that you can give. And there's people that you can say, hey, this is how you married one time. This is how you do it. I can't give that, okay? I can't give that testimony. I wish I could. But I can't. But Samson's standing here blind. And all of a sudden he's like, I know it's been growing back. I know it's coming back. I feel it. I kind of feel it. I feel the flex. I think there's a little strength coming back. But I don't know how to get to where I need to get to. So he asked this servant, will you take me to the pillars? Just walk that way for a minute. I can't go far. I'm on a leash, but... Can you take me to the pillars? So this young man leads him to the pillars. Have a seat. They can't see me. So this young man leads them to the pillars. That's all he needed, was somebody to lead him. What you've lost, God's going to give you. Okay, what you lost in that battle, God's going to give you. He's growing back what you need for your destiny. But those things that you lost, there are consequences to your decisions. I will never lie to you, there is forgiveness, but there is consequence. So some things that you lost in that battle, some things that I lost, Justin, I think he put this misfit team together because there's somebody that needed to have those testimonies. There's somebody that needed to have those. And sometimes it's like, if you can just get me there. So you're telling me that Samson had the strength and the boy had the eyes? You tell me I don't have to do this by myself? To my kids, you don't have to do this by yourself. Some of you are stronger than I am already. Yeah, absolutely. Some of you are stronger than I am already. Sometimes you might need my eyes. I'm getting old. I'm getting weaker. I'm getting slower. But I can still see. So what you lose, we'll make up together. And sometimes it's going to be dark. When it starts growing back, I want you to realize that one thing, you've not lost anything. You've just been set up for a comeback. And whatever you lost is okay because God's going to give it back. And it may be in the form of a partner. It may have been something you thought, I can do this by myself. At 14, before I made the mistakes I made, could I have done this by myself? I don't know, maybe. Maybe. But I can't now. But there's been something growing back, Jeremy, something growing back that I can't change. There's an anointing coming back that I can't change. There's a life in me that's coming and I feel a change. I feel a shift in my heart. And sometimes I've needed partners. I've needed men to stand by me and say, this is the way, Eric. This is the way. This is how we get there and point the direction. But I promise you, if you'll get me to a microphone, I'll preach. I promise if you'll get me to the pillars, I'll push as hard as I can. And if they come down, guys, let's take the house down. There's been things standing long enough against our God. There's been things standing long enough against our destiny. There's been things standing way too long against you. If I can get you to the pillars, will you push? Let's have a comeback, guys. God's mighty. God's going to give back everything you thought you lost. And what you think that I can't get past because I can't see it anymore, how many times have I said, I can't see it, and I needed somebody to lead me there? It's happened. Every time I need, one of the scariest times in my life, I'll be honest with you, was, and everybody's like, it was during a training session for the fire department? Yeah, I don't like confined spaces, guys. I really don't. We're in a smokehouse, and it's one of those that has the movable walls. Back in the day, my first training, now it's a little easier now, but back in the day, they put you through a smokehouse with real smoke. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, just the stuff we do now, which if you breathe, you might feel a little sick, but it's okay. But the stuff they did back then was like, they just light you a fire somewhere and say, go, you know, the pump and smoke in. And I never will forget, I knew my way through this house. I knew my way through. You ever think you know your way through a situation? I've been here before. I know it. And all of a sudden, I hadn't taken a breath yet. I took a deep breath before I went in that door crawling. And I think I'm about there. Oh, man, I'm about there. I mean, it probably wasn't any further away than from here to that door. And I think I'm there. I think I'm right there. I'm already there. All of a sudden, a wall slides in front of me. I panic. And I take a deep breath in. Oh, man. And I'm coughing. And this is training. I mean, I'm not in any real danger, but I'm still panicked, okay? And next thing I know, I hear a voice. Follow my voice. Baker, over here, Baker. It was Tony Crouch. Thank God for Crouch. You know, next thing I know, I'm crawling out that door. I get up the next morning, feel like an elephant standing on my chest. People say, what are you trying to tell me? Sometimes you're going to think you know your way through a situation. Sometimes you're going to think you got it made, that it hasn't hurt you yet. And all of a sudden, you're going to get up the next morning and feel like you got an elephant on your chest. And you sometimes, when you can't see it, you're going to need somebody's voice to follow. You know, sometimes, anybody ever seen the movie Fireproof? I know it's all about marriage and firefighters, and it's a cool little movie. You know, some points in the acting I won't judge, but most of the story is phenomenal. Kirk Cameron is a good actor. But sometimes in this story, you know what? Some of the things I lost and some of the battles I never saw coming, when I got tired, when I got weak, I made bad decisions, and that voice came from a skinny girl over here in the corner that was stronger than I was, that kept saying, over here. Thanks for getting me back to the pillars. Because we're going to push. We're going to push. Guys, let's get back to the pillars. Let's have that comeback. And what I'm trying to tell you guys as a father to the kids, don't let your failure stop you. You're going to have them. Would I spare you from feeling the pain you're feeling if I could? Absolutely. I've given advice because I've lived it before and watched some of them live the same thing I've lived and seen them hurt. But guys, it's not over. Your failures are not final. They won't stop you. Let's all stand. You know, this, let's all bow our heads. You know, this Jesus we've been talking about, the one that gives us this, because let's not forget, guys, that on a hill, called Golgotha, another man kind of loses his sight. I mean, we see that even Christ is crying out, why have you forsaken me? So in 1 minute, when he couldn't see it, he still did it. He still moved forward. And from that moment grew the salvation that we all know. Those things that stood between us and God came crashing down, just like they did when Samson stood between the pillars. Guys, he's tore it down. All the things that stand between you and God, all the failures, all the heartaches, he can tear them down today. Is there anyone that needs to know this Jesus? So let me see a hand. Any hands? Guys, let's just pray together. Fathers, we come before you. God, for anyone that needs to know you in the ways that we know you, God, we want to pray a prayer with them right now. Pray with me, guys. Fathers, we come before you. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We believe Jesus came. He was born of a virgin. Died on a cross for my sins. That he rose from the grave to give me life. Father, I accept that gift. Ask for your help to live this new life. Anyone that prayed that prayer, let me see a hand. Amen. Guys, let's continue to pray for just a moment. Father, as we move forward in this service, God, we ask, God, that you touch the hearts of these people, God, that they will realize that, God, our failures are not final. That, God, even in our darkness, God, you're growing something. Even in the mundane, God, when we're stuck in the grind, in the darkness, God, that you're growing something. And God, that you're always setting us up for that comeback, God, so that we can reach the destiny, God, that you have for our lives. God, give us strength in this church to be courageous, to take that stand, to plan out the comeback. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, if you're still standing, I want to encourage you as you leave today, if you have a father here, give him a good handshake, a good hug. It's not easy. It's not easy. But if you have a father that loves you, let him know you love him. Because it's tough. It's no joke, guys. It's not a joke being your dad. Anyway, guys, love him. There will be no services this evening. Just like on Mother's Day, go hang out with your dad. Wherever he's at, be sure he knows you love him. Because those good dads are hard to find. And guys, I see a lot of them in this room. Happy Father's Day.